Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the time of worship. We worship and we adore you, Lord. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha, and you are the Omega. You are the first, and you are the last. You are the beginning, and you are the end. You are the Almighty. Father, we worship you for who you are, Lord. Our God and our Father, our friend, our Savior, our elder brother. Lord, we thank you, Father. Say, you are my friend. Keep my commandments. We worship and we adore you. Thank you for your word, Lord. The entrance thereof always giving light. And therefore, Lord God, we are lit up by the glory of the Lord. His glory is upon everyone as we sit here this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Angels are ascending and descending right here in this midst right now. In the name of Jesus. Are they not ministering spirits? Given unto us to minister for us who are the heirs of salvation. Not only we are sitting here, when we depart from here, in your different ways, in your profession, in your career, in your business, the angels are taking a special charge going forward. In the name of the Lord Jesus, to direct all your affairs according to the will of God our Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord. As we read the scripture this morning, bless us, Father, as we always do. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 10, the 43rd verse. And we know the scenario in the first Gentile family to be saved. The entrance of the gospel to the Gentile nations was in that chapter. And taking just one verse from there, Acts 10, 43. Now, Brother Peter preaching at the house of Cornelius, and then he came to this verse here. To him, meaning the Lord Jesus, gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. I always like the last verse. As soon as Brother Peter said that in verse 44, why Peter yet spake this word? The Holy Ghost fell on all them which had the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If I may take a text from the 43rd verse, to him give all the prophets witness. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That is said this morning by the grace of God. Now, in John chapter 1 verse 45, in the calling of the disciples, of course, two of John the Baptist's disciples had John said, oh, this is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And two of John's disciples are Andrew, one of them, and they followed the Lord Jesus, And Andrew, of course, was Brother Peter's brother, at that time, So anyway, and that's the calling of the disciples, right? So anyway, and the Lord found Philip anyway. So of course, they stay with the Lord, for the rest of the day. And Rabbi, where do you live? The Lord said, come and see, Anyway, so when Andrew was there with the Lord, then he now went and called his brother for Simon Peter, Simon was Simon, Anyway, as soon as he was coming, the Lord said, oh, your name is Simon. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which this interpreted is stone, right? Then the Lord saw Philip, say, follow me. And he just followed the Lord, praise God. What obedience, praise God. Just follow the Lord. Anyway, in verse 45 of John chapter 1, Philip then now findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And of course, Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come see. Praise the Lord. Now I'm talking about to him, the Lord Jesus, gave all the prophets witness. And so even Nathanael was saying that of whom even the Lord Jesus, Moses in the law and the prophet did write. So now, in John chapter 5, in the mouth of many, many people, verse 45 of John chapter 5, and the Lord talking to the Jews, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in him, in whom you trust. For had he believed Moses, the Lord said, he who has believed me, watch this, for he wrote of me. Amen?
Amen.
To him gave all the prophets witness. Amen? If I believe most, he will have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if he believes not his writings, how shall he believe my words? And we have more. On the day of the resurrection, many events took place that day. The Lord went to heaven and came back by what you read from the Bible and things like that, you know. And there came the evening, two of his disciples going to the way, on the way to Emmaus. Cleopas was one of them, talking about what has happened. They have seen how Mary Magdalene went to the sepulchre, how, you know, she saw the Lord and things like that, you know. And so they were just going to Emmaus that evening, and they were talking about all these things. And the Lord just appeared. They didn't know about the Lord, disguised himself, you know. And the Lord asked them, you know, what are you talking about? That you are so sorrowful. You are so sorrowful and something like that, you know. Then they now told the Lord what was happening and so on. As if the Lord did not know. Anyway, verse 25 of Luke 24. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now watch. And beginning from Moses, see that? And all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We are talking about all the prophets gave witness of the Lord Jesus. So himself, the Lord Jesus himself. Now, from Moses now, I'm talking about, you know, and all the prophets. And they said unto him, 32nd verse. And that same night, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto all the scriptures? I skip many verses in there, right? But the point is that 27th verse. I'm beginning from Moses. So anyway, since the Lord began from Moses to this afternoon, let's also begin from Moses. Amen. Praise the Lord. And see how they all gave witness. We can't do it all this morning. And see how they all gave witness of the Lord Jesus, all the prophets. So the Lord began from Moses. So we begin from Moses too. Now we know Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So Moses wrote those things, right? The Lord said he wrote about me, right? We should be able to see the Lord Jesus in all of these books. And even more. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. He wrote about me. Anyway, and of course, the Greek name for these five books is called the Pentateuch. That's the Greek word for the first five books of the Bible. The Jews, Hebrew, they call it the Torah in Hebrew, you know. So we know that. Anyway, and the Lord Jesus said that Moses wrote about him. So now, I thought it would be a blessing for us this morning to quickly take a look to see him, not only in the Pentateuch, but even in all the prophets, like himself said. Praise God. That's why we can't cover everything this morning, but we just go as far as we can for time and things like that, you know. So anyway, we are doing this to show the unity and harmony of the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
Praise. That is the whole purpose. Amen. To show forth by the Holy Ghost the unity and the harmony of the scripture. There is no contradiction in the Bible. Amen. It's all about one author, the Creator, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, that is the whole purpose. I'm going to go as fast as we can go this morning. Now, so we see. Now, Genesis chapter 1 gave us the record of the creation and the recreation. I know what I'm talking about. The creation and the recreation. And that is just in its own. Where? You know that? Genesis 1:1 says this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And all of a sudden, something happened. And the earth was without form. What happened in there, you know? And void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the faces of the waters. I can't go into what happened there. We have been here there many times in this fellowship here, talking about what happened between those two verses. So, that's what we're talking about this morning. Anyway, so, in the idea, we see the counterpart of our new creation in Christ Jesus. There was a heart was polluted, it was corrupted, and in fact, it was envied up with eyes, you know, and some of that, you know. So God had to kind of, you know, recreate it. All we have from Genesis chapter 1:3 to the end of it is a recreation. The only original one is Genesis 1:1. The Hebrew word was bara when it said God created. Then from verse 3 down there, no longer bara. It's a recreation, just in the nutshell, you know. So the heart itself, anyway, had to be recreated and be redeemed and so on from the judgment that was before Adam, you know. So now, anyway, so in there we see a catapult of our new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are all witnesses, amen? That's why we are here this morning, because in our life, all things have become new when we receive Christ into our life. Praise the Lord. The light which shines out of darkness, in Genesis 1 and 2 and so on, that you know, typifies a type. Talking about types this morning, right? Because in all the prophets, and you can see Christ in there, right? That light is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has shown in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says so. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, even in the beginning, right? That same God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has shined in our hearts. So we know that. It is noteworthy, though, that some of those in whose hearts that light has not shined, they oppose the true creation of the Genesis account. Why? Why are they doing it? Because that light has not shined in their heart yet. So these are the people that are called the evolutionists, right? They're talking that way. They deny the account of the true creation. So, but we know this. True science always agrees with the Bible. And we have an instance here, very quickly. In December 24, 1968, you all know what happened in that day? That was the day people consider to be the greatest scientific accomplishment of the 20th century. At that time, you know, Apollo 8, Moon Voyager, on that day, the astronauts specifically and particularly chose to read Genesis chapter 1, account of the creation from the orbit around the moon. The greatest scientific breakthrough of the 20th century as of that day. So they read Genesis chapter 1:1. Amen? So that's true science. Right? True science acknowledges God, right? So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just by the way, now let's move forward now. In the creation, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. All the Moses wrote about him, right? All of Genesis and some of that, you know. He's talking about Christ. So, and we see in John 1:1. In the beginning, just like the book of Genesis begins, in the beginning, God created, right? So we see John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him. Moses wrote about all those things. God created. And we know God is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, Moses wrote about me. Praise the Lord. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Praise the Lord. See, by Him, I mean all the prophets, they gave witness. Now, we see that in the first Adam, we see the last Adam. Even Adam was a type. Everything is a type. He wrote about Moses writing this thing about Christ. So in the first Adam, we see the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Then the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. No? And in Romans 5:14 we read, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over there that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Bible says, who is the figure of him that was to come? Even Moses writing in Genesis about the one to come. Even in Adam was doing that. Now, in the first man, we see the second man, which is the Lord himself from heaven. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All the prophets bear witness. That is in 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is of the earth and hearties. The second man is the love from heaven. Amen? Even that was a type of him, you know, as it's written right there, you know. So anyway, in the seed of the woman, we see the coming son of Abraham first, the son of David, the son of man, and the son of God. That's Genesis 3:15, writings of Moses, right? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between that seed and that seed. He shall bruise thy head, you know, the Moses wrote, you know, to the devil and so, and thou shalt bruise his head. So we see that here, you know, yeah, seed of Abraham, first of all, then the son of David, the son of man, and the son of God. And we know Christ was Abraham's shield. I'm just going to go fast now. I say, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, was Abraham's shield. And there we will see the living word coming and speaking and revealing himself to Abraham. See where that's in the Bible? I say, Christ is Abraham's shield. Genesis 15:1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. God says Abraham's shield, right? I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. See, it was Abraham's shield, the Almighty God. And of course, that's what happened in John chapter 8, verse 56. Talking to the Jews and some of that, you know. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So we see that idea. Now we move up with Abraham. You know, Isaac, Christ in Isaac, typified in Isaac. In Isaac, we see Christ, the true seed of Abraham. We saw him right there. In Romans 9, verse 6, we read, not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But the Bible says, in Isaac shall that seed be called. Talking about all the prophets giving witness. Even in Isaac, it was a type of Christ. So, neither because are they the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But it says, in Isaac shall that seed be called. Now, so Galatians make it more clearer to us that he's talking about Christ there. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And the Bible clarifies, he said not unto seed, no, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, and he clarifies, which is Christ. Praise the Lord. See, God Almighty typifies in prophets and so on, that you know. And they all gave witness of him one way or the other by their life, how God set it order from the beginning. Now, how about the announcement? Now, we're going to talk about Isaac a lot. How about the announcement of Isaac's birth? How about that, you know? In Genesis 18, let's see what happened. Was he speaking of that of Christ also? Of course, yes. 18 of Genesis, verse 9. And they said unto him, watch, three. Father Abraham was there in the afternoon, taking a break, I guess, in the heat of the day, and all of a sudden, three men, if you want to call them, appear to him, right? And in the plain of Mamre, you know. And now, you know the story idea. And verse 9 says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? Talking about the announcement of Isaac's birth. A type of the announcement of the birth of Christ in the future. It's all pointing to Christ, you know. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? There are three of them, right? And he said, behold, in the tent. Now watch verse 10. And he said, only one of them said, right? Not three of them now. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah had it in the tent door, and she, which she was behind him. Now, it's a type of the annunciation, actually. What do I mean by that? Annunciation means the announcement of the incarnation by the angel Gabriel to Mary, being typified in Isaac. Everything about Isaac typifies Christ, one way or the other, you know. So the annunciation of the incarnation by the angel Gabriel to Mary in Luke 1:30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. You see that? So that's not just ordinary David, that's Christ himself. Reign over the house forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Praise God. We are seeing how all the prophets, by their life, one way or the other, they were a type of Christ. Moses writing this in Genesis and all that, you know, pointing to Christ. All of them, you know. Now, see more about Isaac. The miraculous conception of Isaac. You know, they were all past age. Bible says, you know, that Abraham was so old and all that, you know. And so was said that his womb was dead, right? So the birth of Isaac was miraculous. So we see in Genesis 18 verse 14, what the Bible says in there. And of course, Sarah was wondering, how will this be, and some of that, you know. Verse 14 of Genesis 18. And God said, if anything too hard for the Lord, you and I can say that scripture anywhere in our life, amen. If anything too hard for the Lord, whatever you are facing in your life any moment, remember this word, all scripture, all God's promises, you know, they are yea and amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God, amen. In your life, as whatever you face, nothing is too hard for the Lord. At the time appointed, the Lord said, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and say that I shall have a son. What happened in Luke 1? You know the same kind of thing, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. See, Mary was in a special case. We are naturally speaking, how can she have no husband? I mean, she knew no man. How can you conceive having no man? Sarah was way past age, and so was Abraham. You see, miraculous conception. Praise the Lord. That is pointing to the coming of Christ in the same manner. You see that right there. Now, even more about that, even the prenatal naming, they were all named. Isaac was named before she was born, right? And Christ was even given the name before he was ever born. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's see that in Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, of Isaac. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. God named him. Praise God. Far before that time, pointing to the Christ also, you know. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. What do we see about Christ? It's pointing to Christ, right? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, see the prenatal meaning, right? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. See? For he shall save his people from their sins. Luke, more scripture, Luke 1:31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, telling Mary, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Even more scripture, Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Praise the Lord. Even right before the prenatal naming happened, Isaac pointing to Christ. Praise the Lord. All the prophets, to whom they gave their witness, by their life, God said it so. Now, we see another thing in Isaac. In the protected death of Isaac, we see the foreshadowing of the death of Christ also in so many ways. That was 2,000 years before Christ, the way the projected death of Isaac 2,000 years before. So we see. Now, where was it? On Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah. Let's see that quickly, you know. Now, this mount called Moriah was selected not by chance at all. It was predestinated, amen? Not by chance. Not for convenience, you know. How can it be by chance or convenience? It took Abraham 3 whole days to walk to that mountain. Amen. Amen. For the place where God told him. Praise the Lord. God has a purpose for that mountain. Praise God. There is a future for that mountain. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The man was appointed in divine counsel, had the size of the future altar of burnt offering. That's why it was appointed as a future size for burnt offering. Let's get them real quickly. Genesis 22, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. There you go. And after him, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And of course, and Abraham arose early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God has told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, took him 3 days. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Like I said, that place was appointed for future burnt offering. That's why God appointed this to. Let's see in the Bible if that was so. 1 Chronicles 21. So now David make a great mistake. If I is saying that by numbering Israel, right? And they say annoy God. And God told the prophet, go tell him of these 3 words. Which one do you want? You know? Anyway, know the story in there. And David was pleading for the people of Israel. These people haven't done anything. I'm the one that's saying, right? You know, you pleaded for God. Anyway, but the thing is this, that this place, this mountain, was so preserved, appointed for future offerings, right? So anyway, in 1 Chronicles 21:28, at that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him, he petitioned with the Lord, right? In the church floor of Omar, the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. What is that? The threshing of where was that? 29 verse. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season in the high place of Gibeon at that time. You see? Verse 30. But David could not go there. Could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. I contrived that particular incident in there of David and the counting of the people of Israel and things like that. Talking about the burnt offering upon Mount Moriah, that's what I'm pointing to. Why Abraham had to go there by divine counsel, God appointed for future place of burnt sacrifices. So therefore, in First Chronicles 22, verse 1, David made that sacrifice. It was Mount Moriah, you know. 1 Chronicles 22, 1. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. See, that's why God sent Abraham there, you know, not just for convenience, about 3 whole days journey, or for any other reason, for divine counsel. Now, to see it clearly right now, the next chapter, 2 Chronicles 3:1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Where? In Mount Moriah. Praise God. If I say where Isaac was to be offered, right? Mount Moriah. Where the Lord appeared unto David. You see that? David is father. And the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Omar the Jebusite. 2 Chronicles 3. That's one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we see right now, God ordained when he told Abraham the first time to be the future place for the offering of burnt sacrifices. David did it. And of course, you see Solomon follows suit and some of that, you know. So now, even see more about this Isaac carrying Christ. How about the wood? The wood for the burnt sacrifice. That is meaning to everything around him pointing to Christ. In Genesis 22, verse 6, we read, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Watch that. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. Why will Abraham lay the wood of Isaac? There are two servants as well with him, right? There were the carnets, right? Why will he put the wood upon Isaac? It's all pointing to Christ, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So what is it? That's why we read in John chapter 19, the 16th verse. Now, then deliver he him, meaning Pilate, therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Look at verse 17. And he bearing his cross. You see that? And he bearing his cross. What Isaac was typing back there. Why Father Abraham can't put the wood on the camel? Why there are two servants with him? He couldn't give it to them. He had to put it on Isaac. He had to point to Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
To him gave all the prophets witness. Praise the Lord. For Moses and all the prophets. Give him Christ witness, you know. So we see right there. So and he bearing his cross went forth into the place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. I put a note here. Of course, Golgotha in Hebrew, right? In Aramaic. Aramaic is the native language of the Jesus tribe, right? That's called Aramaic, right? They call it the place of the skull right there, you know. In Roman, it's called Calvary, right? In Latin, in Latin it's called Calvary. Calvary means bald head in Latin, right? Or skull. So it's called Calvary, Golgotha, they're all the same thing. Now don't forget, in the temple to be built very soon, of which they have gotten everything ready. Revelation 11 says so there'll be another temple, right? The tribulation temple, right? We be right on the same spot, the temple man. No? So they have gotten everything ready to be at the same place. Right from Abraham, God showed him the future place of the burnt offering, you know, and we have seen through history how it was so. Right to our day, when they build that temple, it will be right there on Mount Moriah, the temple mount. So it's coming, you know, at the end of the age. Now, so let's go back to another prophet in the Bible by the name of Joseph. I will call it short. In the future, I'm going to go on because see, all the prophets, right? We will see this. So we see right there in Isaac, I call it short right there. I'm asking Joseph, Christ in Joseph. Now, many things we can talk about Joseph here. First of all, a miracle was involved in Joseph's birth, if you remember. Of course, Rachel didn't have child, right? At the time, he was mad with Jacob. Jacob had to really rebuke her. Am I God? You know, as you know that as you are, you know, you are crying unto me. I don't know. Am I God? Anyway, you know, eventually, by a miracle, she conceived and bore Joseph. As in Genesis 30, for the sake of time, I will just give the scripture and just move on. I want to quickly finish on because we've spent too much time here. So anyway, but in that place, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Genesis 30 verse 1, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children now or I die, you know. Desperation, isn't it, you know. Anyway, and at verse 22, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened unto her and opened her womb. So we know that Joseph, of course, the birth of Christ was miraculous. Like we know, in Matthew 1:22, like we read before, now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the law by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and that it shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. We want to talk about Joseph, many kind of things around him too. Then we're going to close from there this morning as I finish this one with Joseph and so on. Next time we pick it up, there are many prophets and we can see how they all, you know, gave witness of Christ, their life, things like that. Now, Joseph was beloved of his father. We know that. Genesis 37 verse 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. How about Christ? He is pointing to Christ, right? Christ was the Father's beloved. All of us sitting here, we all know John 3:16. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see that one? That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In Matthew 17:5, we read, why he yet spake on the matter of transfiguration, talking about how Jacob so much loved Joseph, Joseph being a type of Christ in so many ways. Here is what you know, what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. More about Joseph being a type of Christ. Joseph was rejected of his brethren. Genesis 37, verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. He was hated. He was rejected of his brethren. Was not Christ rejected? Pointing to Christ, pointing to the rejection of Christ by his own brethren. In John 1:11, we read, he came to his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him, you know. So we see that one in there. Joseph also bearing witness and so on, giving witness by his own type of life of the Christ and so on. Now, Joseph, brethren, disbelieved his claims, you know, and so on, that, you know. 37 of Genesis, verse 19. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. He didn't believe him, you know. And of course, Christ's brethren did not believe him either. In John 7:5, for neither did his brethren believe in him, just like Joseph. All of these things, that you know, they're not mere stories. They are pointing to the Lord Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. Praise the Lord. That is the thing we are trying to talk about. So you see, now, how about Joseph being sold for 20 pieces of silver by his brethren? 37 of Genesis, verse 28. Then they are passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph into the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. What in that pointing to Christ also? The Lord Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver by one of his disciples. We know that in Matthew 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, you know. So anyway, now more. Joseph was innocent, we know that. He was placed in the dungeon. Genesis 39, verse 20. I will keep reading scripture to save time. So he was put in the dungeon, you know that? Because he was innocent. Was not the Lord Jesus Christ innocent also? When he went down, after his crucifixion, went down to the prison house of spirits. The judge suffering for the unjust. That's in 1 Peter 3:18-20 or 1 Peter. That means going to read it to save time, as well as that, you know. And of course, Joseph was taken out of the dungeon and exalted. Genesis 41, verse 14 says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, I like that, and changed his raiment, and came unto Pharaoh. We know that. The Lord Jesus Christ raised out of Sheol and exalted to the right hand of God. That's the whole lot in Acts 2, 35 down the road. You know, in Acts 2, you can see it, all of it there. Joseph was made Lord of Egypt. That is in Genesis 41, 38-44. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ will become the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings of the whole world. See, Joseph typing that. That we can quickly read in Revelation 19, verse 15. And out of his mouth went a sharp sword, meaning the Lord Jesus, that with it he should smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treaded the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All of that wrap up in Joseph. Now, Joseph's brethren knew him not. They didn't. When he said to them, they didn't know him. They didn't know me anymore. That's in Genesis 42, verse 7. And we know also Christ's Jewish brethren. They don't know him as the Messiah. You don't. In Romans 11:25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness, you see, they don't know the Messiah. Blindness is in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be brought in. Talking about Joseph. Now, Joseph, brethren, went through a severe period of testing. Talking what will happen at the end of time to the lost brethren, the Jews. And we see in Genesis 42:21, and they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Now it's pointing to what will happen to the Jews, the lost brethren, at the end of the age. Christ, brethren, the Jews will go through a severe period of testing. All this being foretold right from the book of Genesis that Moses wrote. We see in Jeremiah 30:7, that is what will happen to the Jews. Alas, for that day is greater, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So the suffering of Joseph's brethren is calling for the Jews at the end of time, the lost brethren, to suffer also. Now, we know at one time Joseph made himself known to his brethren in Genesis 45, as I close here right now, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, and caused every man to go out from him from him. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. We know the Lord Jesus Christ will make himself known to his brethren at the end of the age. Zechariah 12:10 told us that, and I read, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, the Bible says. And they shall mourn for him, the Bible says, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now, one more thing before I close about Joseph. Joseph nourished his family, and was reunited with them finally. That's in Genesis 45:10. You can read it if you want. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, he told them, and thou shalt be near unto me. Joseph said, you see that one? He drew them near. This is what they did to him. Thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herd, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, Joseph said to the brethren who have done him so much harm. For yet there are 5 years of famine, he said. And let thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. The same thing Christ will do at the end of time to his Jewish brethren. He will protect them, and he will do the same thing. Revelation 7, talk about the Jews. Verse 16, they shall hunger no more, you see. The Jews, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any is. Verse 17 says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, you see, like Joseph did to them in Egypt, right? And shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tear from their eyes. Joseph was typing all of these things, you know? So, and one more thing about him. Of Joseph was the question asked of his brethren. In verse 7 of Genesis, verse 8. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? You see? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his words. So, there in Joseph, we see one more thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. As he spoke of himself in a parable in Luke 19, in Luke 19, they were thinking that the kingdom of God should come right there immediately, Then the Lord spoke a miracle that, hey, not right now. So he told them his parable in Luke 19, verse 13. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now watch this. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying the same word that Joseph blessed and said to him, we will not have this man reign over us. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same words, you know. Joseph pointing to Christ. To him bear all the prophets witness. Praise God. Hallelujah. By their life, by their calling, by whatever they did, you know, God pointing to Christ in all these things, you know. But we see the suffering of Joseph, followed by the glory, right? Exalted to the throne. So also, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself and Son of God, you know, we see that, you know, after all the suffering, he was received into glory. He told us in Luke 24, he told his disciples and so on. Ought not Christ to have suffered this thing? So Joseph suffered. Bible says his feet were hot in irons, right? You know, concerning Joseph. He suffered all those things. At the end of it, our God raised him up and was, you know, I became the prime minister of the whole of Israel, of the world of that arena, you know. So the same thing, typing Christ and so on, the Lord suffered so much. 24 of Luke, verse 23, says, ought not Christ to have suffered this thing and to enter into his glory? In 1 Peter 1:11, the Spirit of Christ, I paraphrase, testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Which glory, brethren, we shall be witnesses and partakers of this glory. Amen? Amen. The Bible says so. I'm closing with that right now. In 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, take it not strange concerning the free trial, which is to try you as though some strange things happen unto you, verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. One more in 1 Peter 5:1. The elders which are among you are exhort, whom also am elder, brother Peter wrote, and am a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Praise the Lord. The glory shall be revealed in us, and so on, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like this is a very lengthy subject. Can we imagine going through every prophet's life and see Christ being revealed? And they are testifying by their life, you know, of the Christ who come in the Bible. That's how we can take in, you know, today. We have another session one time to see the other prophets. How about Moses? How about the rest of these prophets? And so that, you know, in the future services. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. This is our delight, our joy. Oh, revelation stimulates, it generates faith in the Bible. You can take any promise in there and claim it for yourself. It's authentic. It's all unified together, the word of the living God. There's no book like this book in the whole wide world. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's talking about the creation, scientific book, book of prophecy, all of these things and so on. All in harmony together. We can rely upon every sentence, upon every verb in that book. They are the word of the living God. Lord, this blessing give us confidence this morning by the word of God. And to pour upon it, Lord, O God, to study it day by day, more than we ever did before, Lord, in the name of the Lord. There is nothing we ever need in this world that is not promised in this word of God. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you this morning. Just a delight, seeing the revelation of the word of God, Lord, to us. Blessed be the name, O Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So...